BizScoops is proudly produced by NewsScoop.
Good day to you and welcome to BizScoops for business news local and international. My name is Isabel Potgieter. On the show today, the South African Revenue Service says it will expand its auto-assessment system to include selected provisional taxpayers for the first time. And we talk to political and trend analyst J.P. Landman about the country's struggling municipal system. The economist Waldo Kriegel talks about financial indicators showing that consumers are struggling. In international business news, we report that Volkswagen is considering its biggest restructuring yet. In investment news, Naspers and Prosus have reported an increase in their share dividend. And we talk to Erica Liebenberg of Just Money. She gives some more valuable tips on earning money online. The South African Revenue Service says it will expand its auto-assessment system during the 2026 tax filing season to include selected provisional taxpayers for the first time following a pilot project last year. Taxpayers who agree with their auto-assessment does not need to take any further action, while those who disagree can amend and resubmit their returns. Auto-assessments run from today to 12 July. Individual tax returns open on 13 July and close on 23 October, while provisional taxpayers have until 22 January next year to submit their returns. Statistics South Africa yesterday released its quarterly employment statistics. The group head of South Africa Macroeconomic Research at Standard Bank, Dr. Alna Mwelman, unpacks the latest figures, highlights the key trends emerging from the data, and shares her insights on what they reveal about the current state of South Africa's labour market and broader economy.
The quarterly employment statistics survey released by SatsSA for the first quarter of this year specifically focuses on the non-agricultural formal sector of the economy and specifically government as well as large businesses. This survey shows more than a 1% decline in jobs in the first quarter of this year relative to the first quarter of last year. These job losses were both in the public sector as well as the private sector, and within the private sector, we specifically saw significant job losses in the wholesale industry as well as hotels and restaurants. Overall, this adds to a reasonably bleak picture for South African consumers. In the first quarter of this year, the credit bureau data that we track shows an increase in financial pressure on consumers, and specifically a broad-based rise in non-performing loans and the proportion of consumers with overdue debt. In the second quarter of the year, of course, we saw a significant spike in the cost of living, and the Reserve Bank increased interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point. We expect consumers to remain under pressure for the remainder of this year.
We are now joined by the political and trend analyst J.P. Landman, discussing what is being done to change our municipal system in order to safeguard funds for maintenance and capital investment. J.P., with the local government elections approaching later this year, many South Africans are asking why so many municipalities and metros continue to struggle with service delivery and deteriorating infrastructure. Can you give us an overview of the core problem and explain why national government is often limited in what it can do to intervene and turn failing municipalities around?
It's basically about people and institutions. Now, whether you allocate 50% to people and institutions or 90-10, that doesn't really matter. It comes down to people, having the wrong people in the wrong places. But it also comes down to institutions not functioning optimally. So the one, people, can be fixed in November with the elections. But the other one, how institutions function, that's where the change can come from. In terms of our constitution, local government, including metros, enjoy a very particular position and therefore also protection. Local government is not an implementing arm or an administrative agent of national or provincial government. The constitution grants them their own inherent rights of holding elections, of passing legislation and taking decisions. So you can't just barge in and tell them do this or do that. They will tell you to get lost. So when you want to do reform, which is what we're talking about here, you've got to operate within this constitutional constraint. So it's a sphere of government. It's not just an organ of government. That's the status the constitution gives it.
The content of this insert is also available on the So What podcast on Spotify. We now have the economist, Professor Waldo Kriegel, on the line with us. Professor Kriegel, can you give us an overview of some recent financial indicators that shows that consumers are struggling?
FNB and the Bureau's Consumer Confidence Index declined sharply in the second quarter. The fuel price increases in April and May are estimated to have caused approximately 45 billion rand in additional costs throughout the economy, placing household and business budgets under pressure. The confidence of high and middle income households have been dampened by the repo rate increase. Everyone is concerned about the economic outlook, and far fewer households believe that now is a time to purchase durable goods. That pressure is also visible in PayInc's salary index. Average real net salaries are at their lowest point in 2 years. When the economy grows slowly, salary increases are small, and higher inflation erodes the purchasing power of that income. When consumers come under strain, it quickly flows through to other economic activities. The Reserve Bank's leading indicator declined in April, with 8 of the 10 indicators weakening. The question is whether inflation can decrease as quickly as it increased, and when the Reserve Bank will again be able to lower the repo rate. On the consumer price inflation side, the May figures did not suggest much second-round pressure on prices yet, but the PPI figures released this week is cause for concern. Producer price inflation rose from 4.8% in April to 7.8% in May. So even with a declining oil price, there's still some price pressure on the way.
Thank you. That was Professor Waldo Kriegel, an economics professor at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Professor Kriegel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify and Anchor FM. Volkswagen is reportedly considering its biggest restructuring yet, with plans that could see up to 100,000 jobs cut worldwide and 4 factories closed in Germany. The proposals, which have not been officially confirmed, are expected to be discussed by the company's supervisory board on 9 July. The move comes as the car maker faces weaker demand in Europe, growing competition from Chinese manufacturers and US import tariffs. Naspers and Prosus have reported results for the 12 months to 31 March 2026, announcing a 40% dividend increase to €0.28 per share. The South African group, valued at about 640 billion rand, is expanding AI-driven commerce across Latin America, India and Europe. Despite an operating loss of $217 million, it maintained strong cash flow, completed European acquisitions and kept its 10-cent stake. Before we say goodbye, we are joined by Erica Liebenberg of Just Money. Erica, what are the 3 key factors for building credibility and success in the online economy?
The 3 key success factors are firstly consistency. So it's crucial to commit to one income method and work at it consistently rather than trying to spread yourself too thin. And in this respect, the lowest barrier to entry in the online economy is also its biggest trap, because it's really tempting to shift from freelance writing to virtual assistants or drop shipping, for example, before any single method has really had time to mature. And because every digital phase, a field has an initial phase where you're working relatively hard for low returns while you're figuring out the systems, creators or freelancers who constantly jump between different methods basically end up stuck in this perpetual beginner phase loop. They never stick around long enough to reach the higher earning effortless phase, and they never get the dividends from their efforts. So it's important to stick to the one thing. The other issue is that success online relies heavily on algorithms and search visibility, and both of those reward longevity. So consistency, very key. The second one is building trust and credibility. You need to earn positive reviews and establish a reputation for reliable work. And the first few customer reviews in this regard are particularly important. In the global marketplace, just doing what you said you would do when you said you would do it puts you ahead of your competition. And, you know, true credibility online is built on predictable communication, meeting your deadline without excuses, and being transparent if a project hits a snag. very crucial. And then the third thing is you need to look towards continuous improvement and reinvestment. The online economy in particular, it moves at an incredibly rapid pace. The tools, the software platforms, the skill sets that are highly profitable today can easily become automated or saturated in a short period of time, within months perhaps, or a year or two. So to protect and scale your income, you need to treat your early earnings as seed capital. So in other words, you know, your initial digital earnings should not go towards lifestyle inflation. You need to funnel them back into the infrastructure that can speed up your workflow. So that might include things like investing in a laptop with faster processing power or paying for premium software subscriptions. And then to increase your income, you really need to increase the value of your hours because, you know, obviously you've got a ceiling in terms of how many hours or how much energy that you have to expend. So reinvesting in certified courses, for example, or specialized training, or learning adjacent high skill demands that relate to the work that you're doing, this allows you to move into premium specialized consulting roles.
How can AI help or hinder youth in the online marketplace?
Yeah, contrary to popular opinion, AI is not eliminating opportunities, at least not wholesale, but it is definitely changing the rules. And the challenge for young South Africans is to develop AI technical literacy, but to combine it with uniquely human skills, things like emotional intelligence, cultural empathy, complex problem solving. Those are crucial because those are skills that a machine is never going to be able to provide. The pros of AI in the online environment for young people include things like generative AI, because that allows people to develop to deliver competitive work in things like web design, copywriting, or data analysis, for example, to international clients. And so you can maximize your earnings in a stronger foreign currency in the rand. So that's a real boost. And then text editing tools, things like Grammarly, they ensure that communication matches international standards and they overcome regional biases in terms of spelling and remote administrative and client-facing roles. So those can be a big help. And data from the Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator this year notes that the expansion of the AI market, which grew about 31% year on year between 2023 and 2024, and that growth expansion is incremental, so it's growing. And it's opening entirely new entry-level roles in things like AI data annotation, prompt testing, chatbot training, and they don't require formal tertiary qualifications. So those are the real pros. But there are definitely some problems or some hindrances. And one of them is, and probably the biggest one, is that traditional starting points for online freelancers, things like basic content writing or transcription, which, you know, people used to do through services like Rev or TranscribeMe, and simple data entry, those kinds of things, they're increasingly being automated by AI. And the Harambee data actually indicates that up to 40% of repetitive customer support and entry-level tasks within call centers and other environments, those are highly vulnerable to AI automation. And that's a vital youth employment pipeline that's being put at risk.
And that was Erica Liebenberg of Just Money. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. My name is Isabel Potgieter. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by NewsScoop.